Good evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our gallery. The time is just gone 5:30, and I'd like to welcome you to meeting number 3 on the 14th of February here in the Civic Centre at Kingston. The audio recording, all persons in attendance are reminded that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
And it has. It now is appropriate that I acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay my respect to them, their customs, and to their elders past and present. Attendees tonight, myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reap, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chadden, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone and Councillor Winter. Staff, we have our General Manager, Mr Arnold. We have our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr Reeve. Our Manager, Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee. Our Compliance Coordinator, Mr Basham. And our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies, we have one apology, and that is Councillor Gross. On page 2 of the agenda, confirmation of minutes of the council meeting held on the council meeting number 2 held on the 23rd of January 2017. I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Percy. And that is that the minutes of council meeting number 2 held on the 23rd of January 2017 be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We also have the workshops held since the last meeting on the 23rd of January, and they were on the 30th of January, Waste Management Strategy, and on the 6th of February, Kingston Park Release Strategy. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest? There are none. We'll move on to page 3, questions on notice from the public. And there's one here from the budget and deficit, and from Mr. Mervyn Reid submitted the question, and Mr. Breen has responded on page 3. And I take it that Mr. Reid got a copy of that in writing, did he not? No?
No.
So we should read that, should we?
No.
We don't. Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you. So, Mr. Reid, I draw your attention to page 3 and 4. Questions without notice from the public? Are there any questions without notice from the public? Yes, Mr. Reid. Mr. Reid, and if you would pass that on, Mr. General Manager, would you respond, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, unless my colleague David Reeve would like to make a response tonight, I suspect he'll probably want to take that on notice to provide a written response to Mr. Reid and councillors.
Mr. Reeve?
Yes, through you, Mayor. Yes, I'm happy to provide a written response to the question that's been raised there. But I might just add that any issues that people might notice out there, we do actually have an area in council they can be reported to and then actioned accordingly as well. So I'd certainly encourage anybody who has particular issues with any roadworks or anything else of that, that ilk to report that through our customer service centre.
Thank you, Mr. Reid. Would you like to collect that from Mr. Reid so that you can respond? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Reid. Questions on notice from councillors. On page 4, question regarding advertising on crowd land from Councillor Berry, and a response from Mrs. Tyler Moore. Timing of decision making from Councillor Berry with a response again from Mrs. Tyler Moore on page 5. Question from Councillor Atkinson regarding a day on the beach and a response from Mr. Arnold. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Bastone.
I think it's a very apt question at the moment while we're commemorating the 50th anniversary of the fire. So I've been approached by the head of the Kettering Fire Brigade, who also looks after Woodbridge, about the necessity for an extra tank at both Woodbridge and at Kettering for them to fill up. There have been several occasions now when fighting fires that in Kettering, and these are just car fires, that they've actually had to go and drive back to Snug to fill their tanks up because the standpipe at the Kettering Oval has not been able to supply the water due to watering the ovals at the time. So they would like it. And I have a quotation here for the amount of money that they're looking for.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. You'll pass that on to the General Manager. I'll ask the General Manager to respond.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bastone, if you could provide me with that quotation, and we'll follow that up and we will provide councillors with a written response.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Winter.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. What is Council's position on the Local Government Association of Tasmania's move to review local government representatives' allowances?
Because we haven't discussed it, there is no position. Am I correct? Thank you. No further questions? Thank you, Councillor Winter. Motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Petition still being actioned. A report in respect of a petition relating to Lockley's Road Adventure Bay. Lockley's Road Adventure Bay can be found on page 9 of the agenda. Petition received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions have been received. The open session of Council will adjourn, and we will commence and remind councillors that we're now acting as a planning authority. So the planning authority meeting commenced at 5:39. The first item on page 6, report of officers, delegated authority for the period 11 January to 31 January, and there is a recommendation on page 8. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton, and thank you, Councillor Reid. Any discussion or questions, councillors? Then, Councillor Reid.
Just in relation to the two items on the bottom of page 7, so DA 463 of 2016 and 361, there were representations received in relation to those, and a decision was made, but we haven't received any information on two. So I know I keep raising this, but it's just that if it then subsequently gets raised by us, we need to know how to respond.
Thank you. General Manager has taken a note, and we'll have a response emailed to us. Any further comments? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Reid, the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is page 9, condition of Lockley's Road, and there is a recommendation on page 11. Pardon? Oh, open session. Yeah, okay, so open session has resumed at 5:40, and the mover, I think, was Councillor Percy. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, this is obviously a road on Bruni, and as Chairman of the BIAC, often we consider what priorities there are for CAPEX on the island. Lockley's Road has been raised many times, but also Harvey Road has been raised similarly because it's got a larger population of people and there's more through traffic and requires sealing perhaps. And also it would be a good idea to have a dust suppressant on Harvey's Road as well until that time. So I support this, but I also think that there's other roads that need to be considered of similar importance as this one, so and that being Harvey Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
Yes, I would have similar concerns. I think there are a lot more roads with a lot larger populations on them than through roads, including Wingara Road, which I live on. Not that I want to have it sealed, but the idea of a dust suppressant would appeal to a lot of people. So I've not heard of this before, and I'm very interested in the concept. But to isolate this road in itself, on its own, I think is raising expectations, even though I do support the motion. And I'd be very interested in the report explaining the process and the application and where else it would possibly be able to be used. I don't know if this motion in itself is sufficient to trigger that, or whether it would need an additional part to the motion.
I think it would need an additional part.
Well, as seconder, I probably can't move an amendment or suggest item C, maybe, can I? With the mover's consent?
The feeling around the room?
This particular report is the result of a petition. It's not a general report, so one, I think, needs to be careful, because this is only answering a petition which was referred to earlier in the agenda tonight.
That's right.
So it's not a general discussion on various roads in the municipality. And I think if a councillor has other roads of concern, it should come forward as a separate motion in this instance, because this is addressing a petition. This particular road was a petition.
That's true. And I think we can have a report when it happens to see if it is. Mr. Reeve, would you like to add to the discussion, please?
Yeah. I think Councillor Fox may be referring to dust suppressant and the use of those on unsealed roads. So at the moment we're trialling a couple of sections. So we've done a section on Lighthouse Road and also a section on Oxley's Road as well, just to see how well they actually perform. And then we'll, if that is successful, we'd be looking at other light roads to actually run a similar thing out as well. But yes, I certainly at the end of that trial quite happy to actually send something through to council, even if it's only informally by email, to keep them apprised of how well that's actually worked and whether we will be actually having a running program for it.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Reeve. I think that solves the issue. Further discussions to the recommendation? If not, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox, that A, council officers undertake further investigation and consultation with residents as to an appropriate solution for managing excessive dust from Lockleys Road, and B, consideration is given to funding any major works within Council's five-year capital works program. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 13, Kingborough Waste Services Board reappointment, and there is a recommendation on page 14. Thank you, Councillor Percy, and thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy.
Thanks very much. I think the strength of KWS is the strength of the board and the quality of the council management on the board. Having independent directors is good for the governance of KWS. The cost of having independent directors is minimal in the whole scheme of things, and the accounts reporting structure allows clear identification of income and expenses for KWS and waste management. So I'm in favour of this motion, and Mr. Peter Shelley has been a very good director, chairman of this for 3 years, so I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Further debate, councillors? Councillor Winner.
I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't wish to pass any or create any doubt over the competence of the independent directors. I have no reason to doubt them, but from my perspective it would seem strange to reappoint the chairman without going through a process to explore the market for independent chairman for this particular role. Usually when businesses are performing or organisations are performing well, you'll find that chairmen are quite often re-elected without or reappointed without any competition. This is a KWS is not in that position. Has negative, as we understand, the balance sheet is in negative territory. Negative assets on the balance sheet. It sustained a heavy loss last financial year, and although this year is looking considerably a lot better, in that we're looking like we're going to balance the budget. I'm unsure why we would feel the need to immediately reappoint the chairman and not go back out to advertise the position. In that way, I'd like to see us re-advertise or advertise and encourage the existing chairman very strongly to put his name forward for that position. And I think that's good governance. I think Councillor Percy's point about Mr Shelley being a good chairman, I have no reason to doubt it, but what I don't know is whether there's a better chairman out there in the market, whether we could find somebody who has even more impressive skills or a better track record, particularly in waste management. So from my perspective, I'll be voting against this, and I'd foreshadow a motion that would advertise the position if this fails.
Thank you, Councillor Weiner. Councillor Atkinson.
I sympathise strongly with what Councillor Weiner just raised. I mean, the only one sentence in here about Mr Shelley says 4.2, Mr Shelley has been, for the previous 3 years, been an active board member and a very capable chair. And on that one sentence rests this decision. And as Councillor Weiner said, there may be other people out there that would, in our opinion, would do a better job and so on. I think it's probably good governance that we do explore the market for these sort of positions and see who's out there. And there may be someone who, when we compare, say, they'd be a better choice for the job. So, I sympathise with Councillor Winter's position on this, and I'll listen to the rest of the debate to decide how I'll vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chatterton?
Yeah, I'm rather surprised at the last two speakers, and of course they are, must have mine, remind them that they are new to the council. And the previous chairman to this was reappointed without any problems in the past, and when we advertised for chairman, you're interested, Councillor Whitter? Well, you don't seem to be. You seem to be fiddling around here while I'm talking. Which is not unusual for you. But at any rate, this particular, when we advertised last time, we had a strong field, and Mr Shelley was appointed from that strong field, and he, as we said before, he has done a good job. He's done other things within the municipality that we're aware of, and we know his management skills in other organisations and his background, and I can see no reason why he shouldn't be reappointed.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
I guess just further on from those contributions, could the General Manager or someone else explain why it wasn't re-advertised and why we went to direct appointment, reappointment?
Mr Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. Look, I can't really, I'd have to sort of take what I notice. I wasn't actually part of this, I didn't actually write this particular report here, but I'd suggest that certainly in terms of what he's actually been doing, in terms of his duty as chairman there, I think he's done an outstanding job in terms of directing the Kimberley Waste Services there. So there certainly wasn't anything to suggest that we would be looking elsewhere for someone else who could actually do a better job than what he's actually done over the last couple of years or so. So there was no suggestion to necessarily go back to the market and look elsewhere. That's probably all I can add to it.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. I'll ask the General Manager if he wishes to add.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reeve, only to add that the author of the report, Tony Ferrier, had intended to be at the council meeting tonight. He was a late apology. He's unwell. And I'm sure he would have been able to elaborate far better than David or myself.
Just a follow-on question then, because I appreciate what's been said and I appreciate that Mr Ferrier is away unexpectedly. I guess my next question is then, when does the term of the other independent non-executive director expire, and what will be the plans then? Because I do, and once again I'll preface my remarks as other speakers have, and that is that my hesitation does not come from doubting the professional capabilities of Mr. Shelley. I have a great deal of respect for him, but my experience in government would say it's always better to go to the market and not just directly reappoint, but just, you know, and certainly encourage incumbents to apply. And I wouldn't like it to be a natural assumption that we continue to just directly reappoint without advertising for this or anything else that we may need to in the future.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll ask the General Manager if he can give us any light on that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, I can't. I've written down the question, Councillor Reed, for the expiry date for the other independent director, but I don't know off the top of my head. I'm looking at my colleague, he's shaking his head also, so we'll have to take that one on notice. I'm sorry.
Given that we then don't know that bit of information, and we don't have the advice of Mr. Ferrier tonight, could I suggest that we defer this matter until the next meeting, given that we still have significant time up our sleeves? The current appointment doesn't expire until the 1st of April.
So you'd like to move that the matter be deferred to the next meeting? Councillors, we have a deferral to the next meeting, moved by Councillor Reed, seconded by Councillor Atkins. And I'll put that to the vote. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
We'll have a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the deferment are Councillors Winter, Bastone, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reed and Wass. And opposing the motion is Councillor Percy and Chatterton. Deferment is carried. We'll move on to page 15, Dog Management Policy Review, and there is a recommendation on page 17.
Can I move that the matter be discussed?
Do I have a second of the matter be discussed, Councillor Berry? Councillor Reed?
I don't even know where to start.
You put the motion that it be discussed?
I thought he did, sorry.
Yes, I need to put that, don't I? I'll move that the matter be discussed. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. Councillor Reed.
Thank you. I don't know where to start. It's a complex area. We'd like to think it's simple. You either are allowed to have dogs or in certain locations or you're not. And unfortunately, the Dog Control Act of 2000 doesn't necessarily assist us greatly in interpreting our powers. Look, I think this is a very good attempt to try and make it clear. I guess it did raise some questions as to how we could adequately communicate this to the public, because it's going to need an extensive... I know we're now going out for consultation, but once we get the final policy, I think it's going to be very difficult. And everybody has a pretty particular view on dogs. We get a lot of complaints about dogs. For example, even sort of groups that you wouldn't necessarily think would be particularly have a strong views on dogs, the Access Committee, for example, have serious concerns about dogs on Kingston Beach, because it's very difficult to delineate where exactly on Kingston Beach the dogs should be, can roam around free, and where they should be on a lead. And I'm not sure that... I don't know what the easy answer to that is. They've suggested signage facing the beach, but it just worries me that this could be very confusing for people because of the different classifications and the different timings and the on-lead and the off-lead and the different timings in certain areas during daylight savings, you know, changing the times then for half the year, which could... You know, really give people an out, oh, well, I didn't realise it was now not daylight saving, so I'm here and the dog's off the lead and so on and so forth. So I really grappled with this. and I guess I just wanted to make sure, because it talks in here about the public comment and that we're going to go out to individuals and so on. I didn't see any mention in here of consulting with stakeholders, such as dog walking clubs, but also bushwalking clubs and so on. So I just wanted to know what the intentions were there, because I wouldn't like just to see us go out generally to the public and ask for comment, but I think there are some distinct stakeholder groups that we should be consulting as part of this and asking for their advice. So could we have some comment on that, please?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Basham, do you have a response? Sorry, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, the intent would be to work with our communications officer to ensure that we have a strategy in place to reach as many of our residents as possible and to identify the stakeholder groups that may wish to comment on this particular update to our policy.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. I guess the second part of the question is, when we do then finalise the policy, do we think $50,000 is going to be enough? Because I know that we talked about allocating that for signage. But if you look at the list that we just received this afternoon, most of these things are going to have to be signed, because otherwise, and at different entry points. I mean, I just look at the ones in the area where I live, like Whitewater Creek track, is various entry points to that track. Yet it's down here as on lead only and on form tracks only. So if we cover all of this, are we going to have a staged implementation of this and a staged rollout of signage? I guess I'm concerned about the key is the education of people about this and then the signage as part of that. So what are the plans in terms of the practical application once we have the final policy?
Mr. Smith, are you able to answer?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. We've developed signage that's based on colour coding the various types of restriction, and the cost estimate has been provided to us based on installing that signage in accordance with the areas provided, and we're fairly confident that that amount will cover the required signage and its installation.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to ask another question now. Does the colour coding relate to like the colours on here?
Mr. Smith?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. That's correct. The colour coding that's referred to in the policy is what we'd be using in the signage.
Can I issue a word of caution about that, is that red and green figure prominently in here, and as I've said many times, there is a large percentage of the population who are red-green colourblind, and so those colours just don't stand out on signs for them, and so it may water down their effectiveness, is what I'm trying to say. Because to somebody who's colourblind, that is just grey, shades of grey.
I take it Mr. Smee's noted that. Wish to add?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. We're happy to take that advice on board and work with a signage developer to ensure that the issue of colour blindness is addressed.
Thank you. Councillor Percy?
Thank you. Yeah, I think the frustration there's been waiting for the Dog Control Act to be updated. I'm just wondering if are we any closer to that? Have we had any indication from the government as to when it may happen? Just going to have an answer on that.
Mr. Speak.
Yeah, through the chair, the advice we received, the latest advice is that the process is still ongoing, and as reported to council. I think it was in December we reported, in all likelihood, the implementation of any changes to the Act wouldn't be for at least another 12 months.
Okay. So by passing this motion, does that mean that the fines that we haven't been able to collect up until now will now be able to be collected? So basically the loss of collection of fines has been waiting on this document, or is it overridden by the Dog Control Act as it currently stands?
Mr. Smith?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess the issue is that currently the policy that we have in place contains elements that are unenforceable, and hence we haven't the ability to, for example, fine someone for walking, for having a dog on Kingston Beach. Once this policy is in place, our enforcement ability will be enhanced, it'll be watertight, and we'll be able to enforce the provisions of this policy, which we're currently unable to do with our current policy because it doesn't align with the current provisions of the Act.
Mm-hmm, yep. I was also concerned, as Deputy Mayor Reid, about the advising the community and the communication policy, so that's good. It says in 4.1 that ensure that a dog is not a nuisance to others, particularly through the making of inappropriate noise. So the current concern we have from one ratepayer that the dog's barking all night and all day, this will be addressed in this policy, is that correct? That we can enforce that?
It's a different item.
Oh, it's just the dog management policy, the new one, though, it does say that, doesn't it? Is that a change or not?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the current provisions of the Act with respect to a nuisance dog rebarking won't change under the new policy. The policy sets out the requirement to establish the nuisance, and that won't change going forward under our new policy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Matt. It is probably a fairly ignorant question, but it really follows on the questions that Councillor Percy has been asking about the review of the Dog Control Act. And I presume that a state government act kind of stands on top of anything that policy that we might have. My question is, can the Dog Control Act be amended in some way that is going to interfere what we are trying to do with our policy? In other words, does the policy, very dependent upon what actually happens with the review of the Dog Control Act, or completely independent? I've got a specific question as well.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, our policy is dictated to by the Act. Now, my understanding of the review of the Dog Control Act is it's to look at some of the aspects of the current policy that have been raised as concerns by both local government and the community, such as greyhounds and the requirements in relation to dogs on sports grounds, where there's some current ambiguity. So the review, as I understand it, is aimed to tighten up on some of the, I suppose, shortcomings of the existing Dog Control Act. Having said that, once the new Act is in place, we will need to be mindful of any changes to the new Act and incorporate them into our policy.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Berry?
Yeah, I think that probably has answered my question, and it leaves me with concerns about, you know, how definitive we can be. I mean, I respect what Mr. Smee said, but if basically that's all that's being reviewed, can I ask how it's taking them? How long is it? 4 years so far? Something like that, to actually review. But anyway, be that as it may, I just had one specific question which was related to, and I couldn't find it, maybe it's there, the restriction on the basis of, I think, special habitat or that the on South Bruny there are shorebirds that breed on some of the beaches, and I think particular things like hooded plover, and I just couldn't find anywhere that mention was made of Cloudy Bay or the beach down there. I've actually asked someone who knows all about birds to let me know, but unfortunately I didn't have the information as to which specific beach area, but it sure doesn't appear to be included in there. I just wondered, have I missed it, or have we information that disputes what I've just said about the shorebirds and breeding on the beaches on South Bruny?
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Mr. Smee, are you able to answer Councillor Berry's question?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Our policy specifically relates to land that council owns or manages. Now, there are many beaches on Bruny that council has no jurisdiction over, Cloudy Bay included, and dog control on those beaches is managed by the Parks and Wildlife Service.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I have three questions now. One's been answered in terms of the sports fields. I've got concerns about the wording of the restrictions under the illustrations, particularly where the line says on leaves and within prohibited times, that that relates to restrictions on beaches and foreshores. That to me does not make sense, and I'd like to ask if the staff could come up with a sentence that does make sense and explains what is intended. The other issue is that Wingara Road, which is a dog walking area, the entire length of it, has been overlooked in this document and isn't included. I'm wondering whether it has been reviewed, and has it been reviewed on environmental issues, because there were nesting penguins there. I notice we've just had a document placed on our desk tonight, which I've just had time to read before the meeting. And it does talk about environmental values, and it says it may include areas that do not currently support breeding populations of the species, but that need to be maintained in order to ensure the long-term future of the species, i.e. penguins. This includes species such as wedge-tailed eagles, white-bellied sea eagles, some gulls, and beach-nesting shorebirds of conservation significance, i.e. penguins. The other issue that concerns me is the timing that's recommended in this report, starting at 9 a.m. for dogs being allowed on beaches with or without leads, or even to be allowed on a beach before 9 a.m. I just think that that time is too late. I think it's important that people who go jogging before work have the opportunity to do so on the beaches before they go to work without having their ankles bitten. And the other concern I have is that the assessment process of this document that's been placed on our table tonight, has that been applied to all the areas that are now being considered, or whether this would happen after we've made the recommendation for it to go public, because I think that is really a critical issue, particularly in relation to areas which we've actually taken over on the basis that there are sensitive wildlife in the area and therefore dogs should be prohibited. And in this report they're recommending that they be allowed on leads. So I'm very confused about our own standards and how they're being applied, and the assessment process that's been applied to the changes that are being proposed. And I hark back to my first question in terms of making it clear to the community what we mean and not just gobbledygook.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Fox. What I'll do, I'll ask Mr. Smee to respond to your questions, but can we have them again so that they are fresh in Mr. Smee's mind, please? So your first question, then Mr. Smee will respond.
Well, for example, on page 39, relating to restrictions, beaches and foreshore on leads and within prohibited times.
I would have thought if that was a prohibited time, then they wouldn't be allowed to be there at all.
Thank you, Mrs. Mayor.
Say that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The intent was to indicate that there are two levels of restriction. One is relation to time, and the other is related to the requirement to be on a lead. But certainly take Councillor Fox's point that the wording there is illogical, and probably should say on lead and within permitted times would make more sense.
Thank you. Second question, Councillor Fox.
Wingara Road, and whether that's been overlooked, and if it hasn't been overlooked, has it been reviewed?
Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The issue with Wingara Road is that the foreshore area is Crown land over which Council does not have jurisdiction other than the seawall. So it's not that it's been overlooked, it's that being consistent with the remainder of the policy, we've limited the policy to land that we own or have jurisdiction over. So, and obviously Council owns Wingara Road, but if we're talking about the Crown foreshore, we would need to have jurisdiction over that before it could be included as part of this policy.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Thank you. And the other one was the variation of the times.
Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. And the times are an arbitrary suggestion that we've put forward as being reasonable, and also taking in mind the advice that we've been provided from our medical officer of health, Dr. Lord. His advice to us was that that proposed time was reasonable. But again, we're in the councillor's hands as to what they want to go out to the community with, and everything presented tonight is draft and can be amended before we go out to the community. It really is a matter for council to determine what they consider to be a reasonable restriction in relation to timeframes.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. So, yeah, that's in our hands when we finally move the motion.
And one more question.
Certainly.
I had, which was the sensitive habitat and how that's been assessed, and has the document that's been placed on the table tonight guided that assessment?
Mr. Smee?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. The answer is yes. Our NRM staff have undertaken a comprehensive assessment of all the areas referred to within this document, and have undertaken that assessment with a view to the sensitive wildlife habitat, and the classifications are based on that, and it does refer to all the areas within the document.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. That's all your questions, Councillor Fox? Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson?
Thank you, Mayor. I guess first a comment, getting paper editions to the agenda at the last minute is very difficult because it gives us very little time to read them. Also, could I find out, from the General Manager, whether those editions are going to be included in the electronic copy of the agenda so that we can file them properly?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We can certainly do that, Councillor Atkinson, and I apologise for the late handout of those additions, but after speaking with staff today, I felt that it was appropriate to provide some of the backing information, if you like, that actually supports or underpins the report that's on the agenda. But I think your suggestion is a very good one.
Thank you. I appreciate it's important information. I don't have time to read and digest it if I sit down at the table and it's in front of me. The second one really flows on from Councillor Berry's question about the effects of the change of the Act on what rules are put in place. And I'd be interested in the staff's comments on whether there's a possibility that changes to the Act would require further changes to our signage and whether there'd be additional cost involved in that.
Mr. Smee, would you like to have a guess at this one, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's purely speculative. I couldn't rule it out, but as I indicated earlier, my understanding is that the review of the Act is focused on some specific shortcomings, that we don't expect that there's going to be a major overhaul of the Act that would require us to undertake a major overhaul of our policy, but I can't sit here and rule it out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because I mean, from reading this, I can see that it's a good attempt at what we can do within the rules that we've been given. Clearly our intent is that we want some beaches particularly to be no dogs, and we want some beaches to be dogs allowed, and we're using the rules that we can give in that we can't make we can't prohibit dogs unless there's an environmental reason, so we can restrict access. So I guess that sort of comes back to what Councillor Fox was raising about the hours that we've chosen, and I wouldn't feel at all apologetic about making those hours more restrictive, because our intention is we don't really want dogs on those beaches. What we've said is there are some beaches that we're quite happy to have dogs on, and there's some beaches that we want people to be able to enjoy without dogs. And people do enjoy beaches before 9 a.m. or after 7 p.m. And we're really just putting that as a way of making our rules fit within the Act, that it's restricted hours, but it's not a prohibition. And so if, depending on the other councillors, if there's a possibility of changing that to be more restrictive, if we started at 8 a.m. or something like that, I'd certainly be happy with that. I'd also be interested in, is there any chance that the Act, the review of the Act is going, and of course this once again speculation, any chance the review of the Act would give us the ability to prohibit dogs except for places other than environmental protection, because there are people that are terrified of dogs. There are people that should have the right to enjoy a beach without worrying that there's a dog there. And at the moment, we're not offering that to people in that situation. Is there any? I don't know. Is it only speculation? Is there any chance that that's going to give us that permission?
I'll ask Mr. Smee to comment, but I don't believe so, Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mr. Min. Not that I'm aware of, but once again, I can't rule it out.
Sure. All right. That's my contribution. I'm not sure whether we want to go with the hours, whether we want to. I'm happy to suggest an alteration to what's up there, what we've got in the policy to say 8 a.m. rather than 9 a.m. But
I think Councillor Fox is playing around with the figures. So I'll move on to Councillor Chadden.
This has been a very emotional subject for many, many years, and every time we raise it, we get petitions, we get people going off the deep end in one way and people going off the deep end the other way. No matter what we do, we never win. The Dog Walkers Association, Guru Mr. Walsh, has written on numerous occasions to council and given us lots of feedback over the years, and they've always wanted more areas opened up. Blackmans Bay has been a very hot topic for many, many years on whether dogs be allowed on Blackmans Bay Beach or not, and I note on this occasion we're looking at on lead. I have concerns, and I know that Clarence Municipality, for example, have daylight saving and non-daylight saving time on and off beaches, so it's not new to have something like that. So it's in existence in another council already. But people do get very emotional. I believe the comment by Councillor Atkinson as regards 8 a.m. has a lot of merit, in my opinion, because you do see a lot of people going to the beach on a very hot day in the summer as early as 8 o'clock in the morning. But I'm also concerned about compliance. If we're going to open up these beaches and allow people to be, and most of them are on lead, I know, but unfortunately, dogs can't read signs, and some people can't read signs, and
and people just turn their back to them, even now, and you might go down to Kingston Beach any time you like, and you'll see people just let a dog out of the car and wait straight along in the non-dog area. They don't give a damn. And they're not necessarily ratepayers of this municipality. They're people that do come to some of our beaches from all around Hobart. So you can't just blame our own ratepayers. However, in saying all that, I just find that I think we're going to have, if this all goes through as suggested and the public comment comes back and the public accept it, I think we're going to have a lot more compliance issues and a lot more things happening. And I know from our budgetary restraints, we're limited on compliance people working at weekends. And that's when majority of these complaints are going to come in. It's weekends. So from one perspective, when we've got no dogs on beaches, full stop, and I'm talking about the popular beaches such as Kingston and Blackmans Bay and Conyngham, for example, and Taroona, but these are the real main popular beaches, and now we're going to allow them to be on lead on those areas, people will not understand the difference between a lead and a non-lead. They will, they won't. And we're going to get numerous complaints. And I just think we're opening up a big Pandora's box. I'm a dog owner, so I'm not against dogs. But I just feel that, and I know the powers that be above us say we can't have no dogs, but gee whiz, I think we're in for a really rough ride and we won't win no matter what we try and do.
Thank you. Councillor Percy, have you got a question? Question only?
Yeah, I noticed that we've got prohibited public places. I'm just wondering what the council's position is on when we have a public event such as Love Living Locally or Day on the Beach or even a fun run, whether we allow dogs to go to those, because I think Councillor Atkinson said something about people being scared of dogs, and I know I've got grandkids that are a bit concerned when they see a dog in a close confined space like a public event, so I'm just wondering whether something's going to be written into this policy or not. That's basically what it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not something that we have considered, and I'm not sure if it's something that we've got the power to be able to do for a specific event. Mr. Basham may be able to provide further advice.
Mr. Basham?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The Police Offences Act outlines public places and defines that dogs must be on lead at all times. The Dog Control Act provides us areas that are prohibited, such as areas for the congregation of children, creches, shopping centres, that type of thing. But it's something that we could potentially get some advice on.
Councillor Bestow.
My query was, are we not able to have certain times of the year that dogs are allowed on beaches, like they do in Victoria? So during daylight savings, no dogs on beaches, full stop. But in winter, you can have dogs on beaches prior to 9 a.m. and after 4 p.m. and this sort of thing.
Mr. Smee, are you able to, or Mr. Basham?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That it may be possible to do that. It'd be something that we may need to get some further advice on. I guess a pertinent point would be that if we, when we conduct the correct community consultation, these issues should come out, and something that the public will tell us what they wish to occur in certain areas.
Thank you. Question, Councillor Berry?
I previously asked two questions. Actually, I haven't spoken on the issue, but basically, I also have another question. It's related to interpretation of the Dog Control Act 2000. And my understanding is that Clarence City Council interpreted the Act somewhat differently, and that they actually banned dogs on at least one, if not two, of their beaches without apparently seeing the restrictions in the Act that we are currently being exposed to. Now, That was second-hand information, but I seem to recall it being... we're informed that that was one of the workshops. It was probably a while ago. Is that correct or not? I mean, there's certainly... There are a lot of dogs on Belrive Oval. That's the other concern I have, is that dogs are only to be banned when people are actually playing sport. I don't fancy any of my kids running around, or grandchildren running around on the twin ovals, because a substantial period of the time sport's not being played there. But I presume we don't want the twin ovals to be... have dog feces on them. So is it correct that it's only when sport is being played, and is it correct that Clarence's interpretation of the Dog Control Act appears to have allowed them to ban dogs on some of their popular beaches, the equivalent, for example, of Blackman's Bay? Mr. Smith.
Yeah, to you, Mr. Mayor. The Clarence situation is not unlike our current policy, in that they have also some of their beaches that have total blanket dog prohibitions. Now, our legal advice is that that position under the current provisions of the Dog Control Act is unenforceable, and hence if it goes to court, we would lose, and I guess Clarence are in the same situation.
But they have banned dogs on some beaches, nevertheless.
You tell Mr. Mayor, it's the same as what we currently have. We currently have a total prohibition of dogs on Kingston Beach, Blackmans Bay Beach, Taruna Beach, etc. And Clarence have done the same with some of their beaches. And I would imagine they are in the same legal dilemma as us, in that situation is at odds with the Dog Control Act and therefore unenforceable.
And the second question related to the sports, through you, Mr. Mayor, I think the Act says something about when sport is actually being played, so is that so?
Mr. Smith?
Yeah, through you, Mr. As I alluded to earlier, the current wording of the Act in relation to the prohibition of dogs on sporting grounds that are in active use is ambiguous, and that's one of the matters that the review is looking to tighten up on. But it currently is an area of ambiguity, that whether active use applies to whether there's a sporting match on at the time, or whether an oval is in fact one that is used for sport. That's the dilemma of the current wording.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Fox?
I'm thinking about these times. I'm concerned that dogs would be allowed on a beach from 9 a.m. in winter till 7, and I think there are... I guess if we made the winter time 8 a.m. And the dog...
So you'd like to move a motion, is that what you're
trying to do? Well, just like flagging the idea that in winter, if we had dogs on the beach before 8 a.m, that's when it's beginning to get light and it's not unreasonable. But I think in summer, it gets light very early, sometimes... it's beginning to get light around 5 o'clock, for example, and I think people like to go for a run early in summer, and they like to go for a swim before work, and I'd like to make that 6 a.m. and I think that would be a reasonable, to me, that would be reasonable, to know that there will be no dogs on those beaches before those times, or after those times, that people are free to use those beaches, children are free to play on those beaches and use those beaches, and to not just restrict dogs on those beaches to being on a lead, but to actually say that those beaches that we have currently said we don't want any beaches on, that they not have any dogs on them after those times. And of course, at night, 7 p.m. at night in winter and 9 p.m. during daylight saving. And I'd like to test the water and see how my councillors, fellow councillors, feel about that.
Councillors, time has been suggested to change from 9 a.m. to 6 a.m. Both daylight saving and non-daylight saving, yeah.
Well, I thought 8 a.m. for non-daylight saving for winter.
Do you want to... The suggestion has come that if it keeps the same, it doesn't matter whether it's daylight or not as far as the average owner, walker.
I see where you're coming from. I guess it depends how councillors around the table feel.
Councillor Chadden? Yeah, I was going to say, I have no problem in changing some times, but I, listening to what Councillor Fox just said, you know, you've got people who go for a run of a morning now and take their dogs with them, and they go at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning because that's what they do before they go to work. Which means that they can go for a run with their dog on the lead, along the beach, before daylight saving. When daylight saving in, they can't go for a run along the beach at 7 o'clock in the morning under the time suggested by Councillor Fox. So I just think we need 9 o'clock, I think, is too late. I think it needs to come back to at least 8. But I think you've got to think about those people that are going out for a run with their dog at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning. What's the difference between whether it's daylight or it's dark? They still do it. So it's a very difficult one, and I think the only way the answer we're going to get is by going out to public comment and getting the feedback from the people in the municipality.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
I was going to say, I agree with changing the times, and I've been one of the ones who's been running on Kingston Beach and been nipped on the heels by a dog that was in an area that shouldn't have been there, and it's not a very pleasant experience. But I think that this is complex enough without us having different times for daylight savings and non-daylight savings, because our signage is going to start to become a nightmare. So I think if we can reach a compromise on just the one consistent time right throughout the year, we're going to be making it a little bit easier for everybody. Having said that, I think that we should put different options out within the consultation to the community and see what they come back with.
Councillor Bastone, do you want to talk about time?
Yes.
Yep, go ahead.
I feel that 8 till 8 in, or 8 till 7 in non-daylight savings is fine, but I would prefer no dogs on beaches, full stop, during daylight savings. If we're going to have, it's just as likely at 5 o'clock in the morning, if your kid can't sleep and you live at Kingston Beach, you might like to go and sit on the sand, or you might like to do something, but I prefer no dogs on beaches during daylight savings. Yes, you can. Why can't you? No, we're just saying that it's two different things. They still get to time on the beach during winter hours. I mean, it's what happens in Victoria on many beaches, and people don't seem to have trouble. Perhaps it's the fact the literacy rate is better in Victoria than Tasmania.
Councillors, I think we need to do this formally because we've gone around and we haven't gone anywhere. So with times, I'm open to a motion on times.
I'll move that the motion for the times commence at 7.
So no dogs on beach from 7 to 7 and no dogs on beach from 7 to 9 daylight saving.
Yep.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Councillor Berry. I think we've probably had enough discussion. I'll put that recommendation that on page 25 under the declared dog areas that the times be changed from 9 a.m. to 7 a.m. Councillors, are you ready to vote? Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands or a division. Those in favour of the 7 a.m. are Councillors Witter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Wass, and opposing are Councillors Bastone and Reet. That amend or that time is confirmed at 7 a.m. I'm looking for a motion, a general motion. Who moved that? Councillor Chadden and Councillor Berry seconded. One thing that I would like to just mention, Councillors, while I'm talking, is what Councillor Fox mentioned earlier on page 22. We have the Cayuta tramway track. A number of years ago, we chased that thinking it wasn't going to happen, and it did, purely because we agreed that we wouldn't have dogs on the area, and now that's going to be a restricted area. I think is on Leeds, isn't it? Yeah, so that does concern me that we got that through the willingness of an owner of the property, and 4 or 5 years down the track we changed the rules, if you like. That does concern me. Exactly.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes, Councillor Chadden.
I'm referring to Tinderbox Hills Reserve, and I just want clarification. I don't mind what I say, but it said dogs are prohibited from July to March, but they can be on the lead on form tracks for a period of April to June. Up in the hills there, why do we have a difference? I'm just interested to know, why can't they be there all the time?
Yeah, we do have a motion to discuss. Yeah, okay, so I think we do need a motion to discuss, because we went to that other motion. We were on a... Yeah, we did, and we did take that on the time. And
just on times.
So we did move a matter of be discussed before, so I think we need a motion now. So, thank you. Do I have a second? Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Now, who wanted... Yes. Now, that was Councillor Chatterton.
I asked the question again in case someone didn't hear that. I'm referring to Tinderbox Hills Reserve. And for example, the dogs are not allowed in the area at all between July and March, but they're allowed in between April and June. It's not even anything to do with daylight saving. I just wondered why those strange times.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It relates to the breeding times for native birds. I suspect it's eagles or something like that, but this is the recommendation that's come from our NRM people.
Thank you.
That's consistent with the Telstra tower that's being built, and the same concerns.
Yep.
Eagles, wedge-tailed eagles.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I have a recommendation, councillors. I think we've had good discussion. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Could I just get confirmation from the staff that issue of landowner agreements on letting people through that land and things on tracks has been considered in this, that we're not violating any previous agreement where we've said, where people have said they don't want dogs on their property, but they're happy for us to have public going on tracks and so on. And I know we had this discussion at long length with the end of the Allen Cliffs track. Are there any other, I don't have the history, are there any other agreements like that that this might be putting in jeopardy?
Thank you. Mr. Smee, are you able to answer the question?
And through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess we have endeavoured to be consistent with landowner agreements to the best of our knowledge, bearing in mind that there may be some historical ones that current staff are unaware of and that our research hasn't unearthed. In which case that matter will come out. Well, we'd hope it would come out as part of the public consultation process, but certainly we've been mindful of it in the development of the policy.
Thank you.
And a second question. I just want to be clear of the process here. So this is a motion to put this out for public comment. What's the process when that comment comes back? If you could clarify, please.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Smith.
Now, through you, Mr. Mayor, the process will be, we will be required to collate and consider all of the comments that come back from the public. We will need to provide a response in relation to them, in relation to a staff position that we either accept or reject or modify our policy in relation to the public feedback. The final draft of the policy then will be presented to council. That includes our assessment of all the feedback that's been obtained from the public, and then council will have a final opportunity to make any further amendments to the policy before it then becomes enacted. We're expecting that we will receive quite a lot of public feedback in relation to this, and that will need to be assessed on its merits and put to council for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Councillors, any further debate? If not, I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that council's draft Dog Management Policy 4.3 and associated declared dog areas be released for public comment for a period of 6 weeks, and that does include that 7 a.m. in lieu of 9 a.m. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Carried unanimously. The next item is on page 66, an information report. If I can have a mover and a seconder there, that the following reports. Thank you, Councillor Reid, and thank you, Councillor Bastone. The first item is the General Manager's Diary for the period of 9th of January to the 3rd of Feb. Councillor Reid?
I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. First one related to the second item, the meeting with Christine Bell and Ron Ward to discuss the Copping Waste Agreement. Could you let us know where we're up to with that?
Ronald?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, that discussion was around the desire of the authority to have a standard agreement for participating councils. Mindful that our council has an arrangement that has at various times been the envy of other participating members, and the agreement that the Kimberley Council will ultimately have, whilst it will be in a consistent format, will reflect that contractual arrangement.
That's my only question, actually. Thank you.
No further questions. We'll move on to the minute resolution spreadsheet on pages 68-69. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question for the General Manager. Is it possible to have target dates for these items of when you expect them to be completed? I know there's no indication, or sometimes there's indication in the comment. Would that be something that could be added? I know that you can't lock it in stone, but it gives us an idea of whether something, you know, is planned to be completed in 5 years' time or whether it's going to be next week, because some of them sit there for a while and we're not quite sure where they're going.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, I will discuss it with the management team. I'm thinking out loud and trying to answer it because at face value I think it's an excellent suggestion, and I would like to think that all officers would be able to at least give some indicative time frame, and there may be occasions where, for whatever reason, that blows out, and we'd be happy to report that.
Thank you. I think we'd understand that. The situation's changed, the resources change, and so on, but I think it would give us more of an idea of more useful information. Thank you.
We'll move on. The next one is the Infrastructure Works Progress Report, starting at page 70. Councillor Chatterton.
You know, a couple of things, if I may. First of all, my thanks to Mr. Reeve for making sure that the Rosin Avenue repair pavements outside Illawarra School, St Aloysius School was undertaken during the school break. That was fantastic, and I must admit it has ended up as a major job, and it is a fantastic result. Thank you for that. I do note also on the following page, line marking is to be undertaken at roundabouts, intersection, various areas, and that unfortunately means that there isn't any line marking in the school crossing area there at that school at the moment. And I would hope that that is speeded up. And I know we have very limited way of trying to get line marking done. However, line marking per se in the municipality, I think, is lacking all around the place. And if one looks, for example, at Summerlees Road, when you come off the roundabout outside the takeaway area, you'll find that the line marking has basically faded away to nothing. And a lot of other areas through the municipality, the line marking is fading away dramatically. And I think not only do we need the line marking undertaken at the areas that have been resealed, we need, in my opinion, a major audit of line marking throughout the whole of the, particularly the metropolitan area. And if there's other areas down the channel, I'm sure Councillor Bastone will certainly inform me. But I think it's a priority for road safety. And it's something that it should be looked at, and not we shouldn't sit on our hands on as far as line marking is concerned.
Mr. Reeve, do you wish to respond, please?
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, line marking is a vexatious type issue out there. Unfortunately, only part of it actually sits with council, and a large part of it actually sits with Department of State Growth. So they run most of the line marking on most of the local government roads across the state. It's fair to say that the funding that they have available to do all the line marking across the state there is probably relatively inadequate. So they do provide us with a program of the works they're going to do each year. But there is obviously other ones around the place there that don't get the due care or not remarked in a timely fashion. What I can do is have some more discussions with Department of State Growth there about this issue there, and I can provide some more information back to council about what their plans are, at least for this year and for the following years going forward as well.
I also believe that they would like to hand all the line marking to local government at local government's expense in total.
How unusual.
Mm. Councillor Percy.
Thank you. Yeah, the Beretta left turn lane looks good. I've driven past there a few times in the last couple of days, quite a few times. But my main concern is that when we look at projects that costs something that costs $150,000, you sort of look at that as a priority against other items that are going to cost similar. But when the item becomes $250,000, it's a lot of money for a small council like us to pay for capex, and it probably has a different consideration. So I'm just wondering, at what stage of the plan did we know that this Department of State Growth required us to put an extra 50 metres on there? I was just wondering, it's sort of come out of the blue. Well, for us it did anyway, for me it did. The next $100,000 had to be spent all of a sudden. I was just wondering, maybe we could go through the process of why we didn't pick up that we required 130 metres of left-hand lane rather than 80 metres, which is what we originally budgeted for and originally had capital expenditure on. Thanks.
Mr. Riff?
Yeah, this project's been kicking about for a couple of years, so it's certainly not a new one, and it was a requirement to actually have that left turn lane put in there. It's just taken a little while to get around to actually do that. And I guess over that period of time, there's been some things that have changed as well, which includes some of the requirements of Department of State Growth. So unfortunately, yes, that one did come a little bit late in the piece, so typically we would do a design there and then... because it's not actually our road down through there, we refer it off to State Growth there for comment. And I guess when they have their requirements, we get forced to actually apply those particular requirements they've actually got.
Thank you. Councillor Bester.
I was wondering if we could find out how much it costs to put the Tasmanian Devil warning signs up on Woodbridge Hill Road.
Mr. Reeve.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, through, I don't actually know off the top of my head there, but quite happy to send that information out to you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was hoping, well, firstly, the General Manager might remind me what the thresholds are where contracts come to Council. We haven't had any for a long time. What of those many thresholds? I think we changed the threshold, didn't we? Can you just remind us what the thresholds are?
Mr. Reeve?
Yeah, Mayor. Yeah, so it's $250,000, which is in accordance with the Local Government Act.
Would it be possible to have a list of that? I mean, there's many items here which, you know, the contract's been let for this and this and this. To have a list of those provided to us in closed session as to who's received the contract and what the contract amount is?
Mr. Reeve?
Yep, we can do that. Yep.
Thanks. Just to clarify, I mean on an ongoing basis, not a one-off report, but as I get late, just so we know what's going on. Thanks.
Got it. Thank you. Councillor Reed?
My question kind of follows on from that one, and I appreciate that this isn't the report that's taken from the system where it gives the status of the projects in the budget, but given that there are some mentions here of some of the projects that are going out to tender, there's about six or eight, or about eight there that are listed. Once we've completed, or once they've been let and the work has commenced and finished, how, I wonder if Mr. Reeve could comment on how we're tracking in terms of the completion, commencement or completion of our capital works projects.
Mr. Reeve?
His favourite question, I can tell. He's got a big grin on his face. He's like, ah.
Through you, Matt. Yeah, look, probably a timely question. I am looking at putting a report to the next council meeting there that gives a bit of a high overview, if you like, in terms of how we're tracking it, and at least points out the points of hurt, if you like, or the areas where some of the areas there which aren't tracking as well as they should be, so that will provide councillors with a bit more information, a bit like a mid-year review, similar to what I did last year. So, and that'll be the opportunity to, I guess, ask the questions about any various projects at that time.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation on page 66. Information reports moved by Councillor Reed, seconded by Councillor Bastone. The following information reports be noted. 1. General Manager's Diary for the period 9/1 to 3/2/2017. 2. Minute Resolution Spreadsheet. And 3. The Infrastructure Works Progress Report. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 77. Confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Thank you, Councillor Reed. That in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session: applications for leave of absence and information report minute resolution. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Is carried unanimously. Closed session. Looking, yeah, thank you. And Councillor Atkinson. So move, Councillor Reed, seconded Councillor Atkinson, in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, 2015, that Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Is carried unanimously. The open session of Council will adjourn at 6:55 p.m.